Genesis chapter 2, verses 15 through 17, and chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to till it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You may freely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall die." Now the serpent was more crafty than any other wild animal that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God say, 'You shall not eat from any tree in the garden?'" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, 'You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the middle of the garden, nor shall you touch it, or you shall die.'" But the serpent said to the woman, "You will not die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made loincloths for themselves.
So Ash Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday are all days that have passed. Wednesday night, I shared with you at Ash Wednesday that what I was taking on for Lent was running 40 miles. Wednesday, nothing. Thursday, nothing. Friday, nothing. Saturday, nothing. It will be a painful end of Lent if I don't start my training. Anyways, we are in the season of Lent. One of the commentaries started out reminding us that the gospel lesson for the first Sunday in Lent is always one of the synoptic accounts of the temptation of Jesus. In fact, the 40 days of Lent, excluding Sundays, as a period of struggle and preparation, form a tradition based on the experience of Jesus and of Israel, Moses, and Elijah before him. And so hear this from God's Word, the test, as we find it in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 4. And I will be reading again this day from the Message written by Eugene Peterson. "Next, Jesus was taken up into the wild by the Spirit for the test. The devil was ready to give it. Jesus prepared for the test by fasting 40 days and 40 nights. That left him, of course, in a state of extreme hunger, which the devil took advantage of in the first test. 'Since you are God's son, speak the word that will turn these stones into loaves of bread.' Jesus answered by quoting Deuteronomy, 'It takes more than bread to stay alive. It takes a steady stream of words from God's mouth.' For the second test, the devil took him to the holy city. He sat him on top of the temple and said, 'Since you are God's son, jump.' The devil goaded him by quoting Psalm 91, 'He has placed you in the care of angels. They will catch you so that you won't so much as stub your toe on a stone.' Jesus countered with another citation from Deuteronomy, 'Don't you dare test the Lord your God.' For the third test, the devil took him on the peak of a huge mountain. He gestured expansively, pointing out all the earth's kingdoms, how glorious they all were. And then he said, 'They're yours. Lock, stock, and barrel. Just go down on your knees and worship me, and they're yours. Jesus' refusal was curt. Beat it, Satan. He backed his rebuke with a third quotation from Deuteronomy. Worship the Lord your God and only him. Serve him with absolute single-heartedness. The test was over. The devil left. And in his place, angels. Angels came and took care of Jesus' needs. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Lord God, we would ask once again that you would give us the eyes to see and the ears to hear and the hearts and minds to understand what you would say to us this day, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We find ourselves in the midst of a wilderness journey. In fact, guiding us through this process, especially as we find ourselves together in study and experience the fellowship together on Wednesday evenings, and as that plays into the sanctuary on Sunday mornings, we find ourselves journeying through the wilderness. As we understand these words pointed out to us immediately after being baptized, claimed as God's own beloved child, Jesus is led by the Spirit into the wilderness in order to be tempted. It is tempting for us to stay in the glow of baptism and move immediately into Christ's ministry. But the movement of the Spirit in this text is clear. Jesus must go into the wilderness. He must experience hunger, fear, scarcity, and loneliness. He must be brought to the point where the offers of the devil become more and more enticing. There is something for Jesus to experience in the wilderness. Wilderness becomes the theme for us as we journey through this season, these days that will lead us up to Palm Sunday and through Holy Week, through Monday, Thursday, into Good Friday, into the weekend as we experience once again the glory of Easter. This passage is central, as we find it and as we have read it this day, to our practice in the season of Lent. We observe this 40-day season to match Jesus' 40 days in the wilderness. And like Jesus, we are led into the wilderness by the Spirit. Despite physical weakness, Jesus finds spiritual strength to hold fast to God as the distractions of the world face away, as they fade away from what we see and what we hear. The things that are truly important come back into focus, and the devil's diverting words lose all power. Perhaps one of the gifts of the angels that dwell in this wilderness is the opportunity to discover how courageous, how steady, and how faithful we have the ability to be. We gather at table on this day. We are reminded of the simple words, "This do in remembrance of me." Fitting that it finds its place in our worship on this very first Sunday during the season of Lent. We find ourselves here at table, being reminded, "This do in remembrance of me." That's what the journey into the wilderness is all about. The wilderness is a place of beginnings. The wilderness teaches us who we are and whose we are. The wilderness tests our strength and our faith. The wilderness shapes our identity and our call. The wilderness is a place to fail and to get it wrong. The wilderness can be isolating and it can be dangerous. I've yet to see the movie Into the Wild. I read a little bit about it. I borrowed the title of it for this morning's message. It's about a young college graduate who wanted a change and a difference in his life, and so he leaves it all behind and travels to the remote Alaskan wilderness and simply leaves things behind and attempts to live a life of simplicity. I won't say much more about the movie. I don't know much more about the movie than what I've read, and I'm looking forward to seeing it and trying to understand what is it that draws us to the wilderness. As we find in the text, we find these ideas of trust and power, of a deep hunger. I've learned a word in the past few years. It comes, first I learned it in and through my family, and then I often hear that in the church office amongst the staff, usually pertaining to our children who become hangry. Do you know what hangry is? Hangry is when you're so hungry that you start to get a little bit angry and grumpy and grouchy. And those of us who have been parents or are parents, begin to experience that. And at times we start to experience that perhaps with our siblings or with our spouses or I guess with our parents, hangry. It's about this deep hunger that we have, which we focus on as we journey through this season. Like Jesus, these long stints in the wilderness help us to understand what it means to be God's beloved. And so we can be reminded of other scripture texts. Yes, we heard that account from the Old Testament in that understanding of Adam and the understanding of Jesus and in the difference of their lives and in their journey in the wilderness. It's a purposeful journey. It's a purposeful sojourn, if we want to use that word, as we were reminded, this do in remembrance of me. As we will pray in our Lord's Prayer, we hear that word, those words, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We don't talk a lot about evil in the Presbyterian Church. We don't talk a lot about Satan. We don't talk a lot about the devil. Diablos in the Greek. The overseer of evil, the destroyer of good in our midst. But we can understand this. We can understand that it is evil that separates us from God. And so we are called back to a focus, our occasions for being at table together. Bring back our focus, this do in remembrance of me, remembering that the God who made us, who created us, is the God who will continue to guide us and sustain us and shape us and mold us and help us to be the new creation and understand what that means as we live our lives. Often in music, we're reminded, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And then through Scripture, verses like Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, it reminds us, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. What is it that helps us in this journey? A journey that provides this battle, this struggle between power, between what God offers and what the world offers. What satisfies that deep hunger that we have. If nothing else, in the midst of this Lenten journey that we are beginning, is a Lenten hope. And that Lenten hope, that Lenten prayer for you and for me, is that we would be reminded, that I would be reminded once again, that I need thee every hour. We need thee every hour. We need thee. That's the Lenten hope. Do this in remembrance of me. But it is to be reminded, especially as we journey through the wilderness. So the encouragement is that you would take full advantage. Families have opportunity to do that in their homes, to work through that bag of Lenten surprise. Opportunity in Mahaffey Hall on Wednesdays to journey together, perhaps in your own individual study as we begin the season and journey through these days so that we might understand who God is, who we are, and connecting the two together, whose we are in Christ. Friends, thanks be to God for God's word this day for us. Amen.